Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
See you in Genesis. How many are in Genesis? We're in Genesis, all right. I want to read a scripture. We're going to come back to this moment, but in Genesis 1, it says, very first, Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God. There's no comma there, but we could put one in. In the beginning was God. There was nobody before him. Nobody created him. He is creation. He is the creator. Amen. And a lot of times, that's where I always wonder where people, you know, when they give me these theories about evolution and that, I always ask them, but where does it start? Nobody has an answer for that. The funniest one I heard was they were talking about how it started in another galaxy, far, far away. Well, I'm like, well, how did it start in that? Like, you can't use that. God. But then it says, created the heavens and the earth. And then it says this, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Man, I'm going to tell you, I got such good news for you today. Anybody want good news? Yeah. I want good news. I feel like I've got good news. This is good news. I want to start with this. If you could put up that picture, it seems so kind of weird to go to this, but if you put up that first picture, it's my window this morning. Have you ever been a Christian in your life and there are things that you can't seem to get rid of? Let's be real. If Holy Spirit's here, I think Holy Spirit wants to do something. This is my window. There's things, I don't know if you can put that next picture up a little closer. I used pine when I did this. That's right, Curtis. Because it's interesting, with this window, no matter how many times I've painted it, zinzered it, what else do you do to, I don't know, I've tried everything. Those knots come back. They always pop through. Anything that I do physically to try to change it, it never changes. It always comes back. I think of another scenario, I would say pine knots, and eaves troughs are two nemesises. Anybody have leaky eaves troughs in the corners? Come on, let's be real. That's not really being real, but it doesn't matter how many times I've tarred it. It doesn't matter. It always drips, always leaks. Physically, I can't seem to fix it. I say that because at times in our life, I think there's areas that we are desperate to see gone. That we don't want them in our life. It's not like we want, it could be, you know, I've battled at times anger in my life. And it's not like I'm like, yay, I'm so grateful that I'm angry. If I get angry and I've had moments, I hate that I get angry. I don't want the anger. You know, if you get angry at a situation, you get angry. I remember one time I got angry at my kids, my girls specifically this time. Can't remember, it wasn't that long ago. I remember leaving, I just had to leave the house. I was so furious. I'm like, Lord, I don't want this anger. I don't want this chaos inside of me. And we often, with the Holy Spirit, Pastor Gary did such a wonderful job, we think the Holy Spirit is just, you know, the wind, the fire, the rain. But did you know the Holy Spirit is there to help you? That's actually his name. He's called the Helper. So it's good that you can say, help me. But I want to share something that I discovered. I discovered it for me. So it's not like it's a new discovery. I didn't just discover the light bulb. But turn to Psalms, because there's this beautiful psalm. We just read Genesis, and we're going to go back to that in a minute. But in Psalms, Psalm 51. This psalm is written by David. If you don't know anything about David, he's King David. David is a man that is said to have a heart after God. This is a man that goes into the desert and writes these beautiful psalms. He's the man that goes and plays his harp. He's like the worship leader. He's like a pastor. He is doing everything right. And God says, this is a man after my heart, my very own heart. This is David. I love David. And David's going to write this psalm because you're thinking, this is David. This is David. High call, high class David. And in Psalm 51, he writes this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. This is David, a man after God's heart. And here's the crazy thing. Do you know when this psalm was written? This is David writing a psalm. He is basically journaling. He is sitting down to write where he's at. David, a man after God's own heart. Because this is King David who, in 2 Samuel, I'm going to just paraphrase for today and tell you the story if you don't know it. In 2 Samuel, they're going to war. And the king goes to war. He leads the battle. For some reason, in this instance, David stays home. And it says that David was looking out his window one day when he should have been at battle. He says, sees Bathsheba. Can I say it right? And as he's not in battle and where he shouldn't be, he sees somebody that he desires. And so he goes and gets her. It's interesting. Recently, somebody wrote, you know, we often say that she had an affair with him. And he said, let's put it very clearly. She was raped by him. King David, a man after God's heart. Why can I say he was raped by him? Because she was married. And her husband was on the battlefield where King David was supposed to be. So no woman that's married is going to choose to, you know, it was not her will to be with him. Therefore, it's rape. King David, a man after God's heart, takes Bathsheba, sleeps with her. She gets pregnant. This story goes from bad to worse constantly. She gets pregnant, so he thinks, how do I solve this? So he invites her husband back from the war, calls him out of battle, and says, listen, why don't you're fighting so hard. Why don't you take some time, and why don't you spend it with your wife? Because in his mind, he's thinking, if I can have these two events pretty close to each other, then they'll think that the husband got his wife pregnant when he was on battle leave. And his honorable response was, he laid by the door. He never went into her room because he said, if my men are fighting right now, I can't. Honorable. The story goes from bad to worse. So David basically is stuck with this challenge and he says, you know what? I don't know what to do. So I'm going to send him back into the fray, into the forefront of the war. And not only that, when he's in the worst battle possible, I'm going to have my soldiers pull back so he'll be killed. And this is what happens. Sheba's husband is killed on the battlefield because he got her pregnant. King David, a man after God's heart. I don't know about you, but sometimes I read these stories. The first thing I go to is, wow, that's horrific. Like, this is a man that loves the Lord that plots something that is horrific. And the first thing I'm reminded of that humanity, we have the tendency to do things that are really not good, don't we? Let's just be real. Have you ever said something that you walk away and you're horrified that you just said that or did that or thought that? This is life. It's not the life the Lord wants for us, but this is sometimes what happens in life. When our anger gets the best of us, our lust gets the best of us, our need for finances gets the best of us, our insecurities get the best for us, and we begin to do things that we never wanted or thought we would do. And yet here, King David, a man after God's heart, finds himself just devastated. And then the prophet Nathanael comes one day and basically tells this story. And when he tells this story of how there's an injustice in the story, King David gets so angry because he's describing this injustice. And he's like, that man should be killed. And then Nathan says, yeah, but King David, that's you. God basically called him out on his sin. So we find ourselves with King David saying, I not only sinned, I've been called out, and he repents. So let's pick it up now and read Psalm 51, verse 10. And he says, God created me a clean heart. Oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. So you can begin to understand why David's going, Lord, you got to clean me up. Oh my gosh, how could I have done this? Now, here's the really cool thing. You ready? Here's the good news. David is an interesting character that stood in the Old Testament but began to understand something that he would never understand because he was not in the New Covenant where Jesus died for us. David didn't live in a place where if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you say, I can't do life on my own, you died for me, I cannot do without you, I cannot get to heaven without you, none of my good works will ever do, I surrender, Jesus coming in my life. Did you know positionally you are made righteous? That's good news. But how many know when you're positionally righteous, I would like my insides to line up with my position? Anybody else? So it's great to walk around all day going, yeah, but I'm righteous. Yeah, but can we get closer to looking like it? That's my goal. And that means we walk by Jesus and walk with Jesus and want to constantly be cleansed. And David, this man out of time, he's basically saying, Lord, clean me out. Now, what we don't understand, it says like, Lord, just clean me. This is incredible because he's not just saying, Lord, clean me. He's not just saying, create in me a clean heart. There's this word in Hebrew, it's called bara. And that word bara was used at the very beginning when I said, and God created the heavens and the earth. And God created. Every time you see that word God created, it's bara. And the word bara is a word that means only God can do it. It literally means two things. God either takes nothing and makes something, like the beginning of the world, nothing's there, and God created and made something. It also means that God can take something and create it and totally make something different out of it and better. The crazy thing is that David could have used so many other words, and every time bara is used, it is meant to be only God can do this. There's so many words he could have used. And if you look at different translations, they try to translate it. Let me read one. I love the Message translation, if I can find it. I got 16 pages of notes. Just give me 1 second. The Message translation is probably the... We're getting there. We're getting closer. No, I don't think we are. Take my word for it. It talks about laundry soap, like clean me, like the laundry. And then it goes into something like this, because that's the very beginning. We didn't read this sentence. It says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. It says, Lord, do, you know, like laundry soap, make me white. And then it gets to this line, come and clean my heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart. And it says this. This is so cool. It says, Lord, do a Genesis event in my heart. You have it? Let me read it. It's much easier. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. It's like, have you ever felt like that? Lord, I feel so dirty. I just want to jump in the laundry machine. Maybe you've never said it that way, but you just feel. You're like, I feel dirty. Maybe you've been in a conversation, you walked away and you're like, I feel unclean from that. I know I participated in gossip and I feel bad. So you're like, Lord, wash me. He says, scrub me and I'll have snow white life. Tune me to foot tapping songs. Did you know that joy is a part of being new, having a clean heart? You should get excited about that. Set these once broken bones to dancing. Don't look too close for blemishes. That's a good line. Hey, honey, how do I look? Don't look too close. Give me a clean bill of health. God, make a fresh start in me. And then it says, shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life and don't throw me out with the trash. So what am I talking about? In Genesis, this is the good news. In Genesis, go back in Genesis. You can put your finger there. Love to see some Bibles and pages turning. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Created, God, bara, the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void and darkness. So if you right now are in a place where you are in chaos, this message is for you. If you feel like at times you are void, if you are like, Lord, I got stuff in my life I can't get rid of, this message is for you. If you're like, I feel like there's some darkness in my life that I want to get rid of, there's some things and areas in your life like me, this message is for you. Because what it's saying is basically, this is a ball of nothingness and it's chaos. And he's got to do something to make this better. And so he says, Holy Spirit, would you go and would you hover over the waters? Would you hover over the darkness? Would you hover over everything that's wrong? Second crazy thing. The word hover is used twice in the Old Testament. Twice. That's, try to find a word that is only used in our language twice in a book this size. And that word hover, it literally is used hovering. And then there's one more in Deuteronomy where it talks about an eagle that comes and basically does this to get the kids to come alive. It's like when we go into our rooms and the kids are asleep, we're like, come on. I wish it was as gentle as an eagle. It's not always, but we're like, let's go. Come on, let's go. And it literally, the eagle comes and takes its wings and literally goes, let's go. Let's get out of the nest. Come on, let's go. And that's the only other spot it's ever used. Twice. And literally means the Holy Spirit comes upon this chaos and begins to go, like a parent, we're going to make everything better. I got you. I got you. And I'm just going to hover here until things are better. And this is the imagery we get of the Holy Spirit. And it says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. I want you to know he didn't yell it. He didn't have to scream to make it happen. He just said, hey, let there be light. Because when you have the Spirit of God hovering and you have the Word of God, anything can happen. So one word from God created the earth. One whisper from God can transform your life. We don't need to yell. You don't need to get angry. This is literally saying, he is saying before the Lord, Lord, I need you to do the same thing you did in Genesis, the same ruah, wind, Holy Spirit that hovered. My life is such a mess right now. I need you to hover over me once again, like a parent in his goodness and gentleness. And I need your wind to come and I need you to give me a totally new heart. He wasn't asking like in that picture. That's why I showed you the picture, because he wasn't going like, paint over this ugliness. Like try to paint over it, because the reality is it would show back up again. He is saying, no, create in me a clean heart. He is literally saying, create in me a brand new heart. Here's the awesome thing. Ezekiel talks about a day when we will be given a new heart and a new spirit. David was not in that day, but somehow David went, I need that. I desperately need a new heart. If you're in chaos, this is the beautiful thing. And we started it. We're going to go back into it. That you don't have to yell and scream at your situation. Because after that scenario with David, you know what the Lord called him? A man after my heart. It never changed. We have this imagery of God being such an angry God, and everywhere I read in the Bible, God gets angry at things, but you know what he doesn't get angry at is children. He may get frustrated. You get frustrated with your children? I never do. She's looking at me. Of course we do. They get frustrated with me. But God, after all that, and you know what, by the way, the last line in 2 Samuel chapter 11 says, and this displeased the Lord. What David did displeased the Lord. But he never stopped saying that this was a man after my heart. Now, he might have, if this Psalm 51 wasn't written, he might have, if there was a journaling moment where he's like, I'm just not going back to the Lord. But he did. And he cried out to God and said, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to hover and create in me a brand new heart. Somebody recently told me, they were praying, just trying to be more loving. And the Lord said, you can't, but I can in you. Because that's what I'm coming to realize. We try continually to do things on our own. If I can only get this anger under my belt, if I can only get this thing under my belt, if I can only love more, and I think we're doing it all wrong. Let me back up. I think I'm doing it all wrong. Because I think I would be much more, and this is why I'm excited, because I'm, Lord, I need this. And I've been saying this all week, and I'm still making mistakes, and so will you. But I'm like, Lord, I don't need that just to be tampered with. I need a new heart. And I need, do you remember when the disciples, I think you or Pastor Rod said it last couple weeks ago, it's amazing how many times before Jesus left to go up to ascend, he breathed breath into the disciples, and it says the Holy Spirit came upon them. That's before the day of Pentecost. And then on the day of Pentecost, it said the Holy Spirit came and literally invaded them. And then a few chapters later, they're being told that they're going to be literally whipped in that if they continue. So they go into another room and they say, Lord, we need you. We need you desperately. And the Holy Spirit falls again, and this time with boldness. So here's what I'm thinking. I think it's totally biblically accurate to get before the Lord on a regular basis and continue to go, Lord, I know I'm righteous before you, but would you give me a new heart? Because my heart is hard, or my heart is angry, and I am unable to do this on my own. I've done this with this person for long enough, and I am not doing it. I can't seem to do it, so would you give me a new heart? So you need to understand, I am not talking about salvation. When you ask Jesus into your life, you are saved. Your salvation is assured in the sense that following God, walking with him, getting closer to him, you will see heaven one day. But while we're on earth, there are things that need to be cleaned up, right? And we need to sit before him sometimes and go, Lord, I just can't do it. You have to. On my own, I can't. It's impossible. I hate this person too much. My anger is too big. My shame is so big. You need to come in and give me a new heart. So what I want you to take away from today is sitting before the Lord like the disciples did in a room and simply saying, and as we go back into it in a second, Holy Spirit, I invite you to do what you did in Genesis, a God thing that only you can do. There are other words in the Bible for people that make things, that create things. But this word, bara, is only God is capable of making this happen. I could ask anybody in the room to go ahead and make me the earth. And you'd be like, I can't. That's right, because it's God. Stories and self-help, there's nothing wrong with it. But at the end of the day, there are things in our life that only the Holy Spirit can do. You know, I feel like sometimes I'll read a good book and it's like I'm painting that pine piece of pine again. And I'm like, okay, I've got it down. And again, I have nothing wrong with reading books. I love to read. But I also know there's a lot of times I'm like, whew, I got it painted and it's done. And I literally, I've walked up 4 weeks later, boom, what is the knot doing back? Because I never, the piece of wood's not been transformed. The only way that's ever gonna look different is if I take that and put a brand new piece up that doesn't have, it's not pine and it's not knotty. And the only way that'll happen in our heart is with the Holy Spirit. We get this beautiful thing, Holy Spirit, come. Turn to Titus. I'm just gonna give you a few scriptures and I'm actually gonna invite the worship team to come on back. We're gonna sing that song again. So here's a key as we're turning to Titus. See, this is leveling up. Because so often people will run to the altar and just say, Pastor, just pray for me one more time. And listen, there is a place for prayer to do it together. It talks clearly about brothers confessing one to another, sisters, brothers. There's a place for that. It is a sacred design. But I'm telling you right now, if every day you have to run to the altar to have somebody pray for you to get a clean heart, you're missing your opportunity to go before the Lord and do it yourself. With the one true King that can actually give you a new heart. Now, we'll pray with you and pray with you, but man, when you can go before him and say, I just need my heart transformed. It's powerful. Titus 3:5-6 is this. So now we're talking about the new covenant. It says, I'll start at verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Having been justified by grace, we should come heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I don't know if you caught that, so I'll read the little part again. According to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. It is literally the very prayer that David was praying in an old covenant. He was praying something that would happen when Jesus died on the cross for us in a new covenant. He was saying, this is how it works. He will wash you and he will renew your spirit because Jesus died on the cross for you. That's the good news. We live now that we can do that. So you can say, Lord, I'm positioned righteously, but based on Titus, I want to have you wash me and renew me and change me and give me a brand new heart. Now, you'll say, well, didn't I get a new heart when I got saved? Absolutely. But all I know is they went into the upper room and they prayed for the Holy Spirit and he came. And Jesus breathed on them and they got the Holy Spirit. And they went into another room and prayed for boldness. So if the Holy Spirit can come back, I'm like, Lord, I'm gonna pray that daily. Holy Spirit, come. And continue to take everything in my heart and make it new. Let's do 1 Corinthians 6:11. Says this. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'm so glad that the Trinity is not jealous. That they don't get upset, that they realize that each of their roles is needed. God, Jesus dies on the cross, makes a way. The Holy Spirit does the work. And they're totally confident in what they're doing. I'll say it this way. Genesis is not the beginning. Genesis is not just the beginning of the world. It's the blueprint for what God wants to do inside of you. Where there was darkness, he wants to speak light. Where there's chaos, he wants to bring order. Where there's emptiness, he wants to create something entirely new. So when you read Genesis, don't go, oh, that was for back then. It was a blueprint for what he wants to do right now. It's like, hey, your lives, can I, just give me one more second. I just want to clench this for you. Because when I read something and I want to know I'm this is right, can you do me a favor, turn to Jeremiah? Turn to Jeremiah. Let me finish painting this picture. Jeremiah 4. There is only one other place in the Bible that says the exact same thing in Genesis. I didn't even know that. And a lot of people will look at this line and go, oh, they're talking about Genesis. I want you to read it in context because he's talking about Judah. And things have gotten bad. So in Jeremiah 4, verse 23, look what it says. I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void, and the heavens, they had no light. It is not talking about Genesis. He is looking down upon the people that he's created and the tribes and how bad they have gotten. And he uses the same words and he says, I beheld the earth and indeed it was without form and void and the heavens had no light. I beheld the mountains, indeed they trembled and the hills moved back and forth. I beheld and indeed there was no man and all the birds of the heavens had fled. And I beheld and indeed the fruitful land was a wilderness and its cities were broken down at the presence of the Lord by his fierce anger. He uses the same phraseology now not to describe a formless world, but a world that had gone into decay and spiritual depravity. What's my point? Well, if he can use that language to describe a nature of humanity, well, surely he can look into us and you can look into yourself and go, my spirit's kind of void and in chaos right now. But the answer to that is, you can have a Genesis week. You following me? Where you can say, do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. You did it then. You didn't like how it was there, but Lord, you came with your spirit to do it now. Holy Spirit, do it. Holy Spirit, do it. I felt all week, actually probably for about 2 weeks, and we did a little bit of it, but I felt like we'd have moments and that moment came earlier, but I want to go back into it because it would be foolish for us to take a message and just walk away. I think if I can say it, surely we can all say it, not because I'm better. I'm a pastor and I feel it. You know, sometimes pastors are supposed to have it all together, but sometimes my life feels like chaos. So what I'm thinking is if I can feel that way, I think we all can feel that way. I'm not saying you're feeling that way right now, but certainly when I look into my life sometimes, I'm like, Lord, there's chaos. There's darkness I don't like. There's anger, whatever. I want it gone. So what I'd like to do is just take a few minutes as we go into this song. And the altars are open. It's not an altar. Aren't you glad you don't have to go to the altar to be sacrificed? Right? Because that terminology is like you go to the altar to have a sacrifice. Understand this. You go to the altar because he was the sacrifice. You don't have to be. Nor does your wife, nor does your husband, or any of your children. You can go to the altar and say, Lord, I'm here. And what I'd love for you to do is take advantage of this moment and practice, not just practice, but put it into works and say, Lord, I'm here. I've heard this message. You barad at the beginning of the world and you made something out of nothing. I need you to do it again. I need you to barah my spirit. I need you to barah my heart. I need you to barah and give me new tenderness. Give me more love. Would you do something? Because I've just learned it's you doing something that I can't do. So I need you to do that something. And even if you just spend 10 minutes, 5 minutes, let's see what the Lord wants to do.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.